Our lesson for today will be taken from the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles. The Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles. We'll spend most of our time in the 26th chapter of this book. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. In just a moment, I want to read verse 16 of that chapter. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, and in verse 16, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. In 2 Chronicles 26 and in verse 16, we read, "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. When he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction," our text says. The one who is under consideration in our text is an individual by the name of Uzziah. He is mentioned in Matthew chapter 1 and in verse 8 in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. He also carried the name Azariah. He was a king of Judah. 2 Kings chapter 14 and verse 21. I thought it would be good for us to consider this individual in our lesson today and look at and consider his failure. There are some people who teach that it is impossible to fall away from God. That is, they teach the impossibility of apostasy. They teach that once one is saved, he is always saved. He simply cannot fall away from the grace of God. But we see Uzziah did just that. 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 16. "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction," or to his ruin. "For he transgressed," that is, he sinned against the Lord his God, "by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense." Uzziah was the 11th king of Judah. He reigned in Judah for 52 years. We read this about the beginning of his reign in 2 Chronicles 26, beginning in verse 1. "Now all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father, Amaziah. He built Elath, restored it to Judah, after the king rested with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper." Yes, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. He made him to become a success. He made him to be a very successful man as the 11th king of Judah. In the process of time, he developed an army and he brought great prosperity to the nation. 2 Chronicles 26 and in verse 6 and following we read, "Now he went out and made war against the Philistines, and he broke down the wall of Gath, the wall of Jabal, and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities around Ashdod and among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines, against the Arabs who lived at Gerbaal, against the Meunites. Also the Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah. And his fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt, for he became exceedingly strong. And Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the corner buttress of the wall. Then he fortified them. Also he built towers in the desert. He dug many wells, for he had much livestock, both in the lowlands and in the plains. He also had farmers and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army of fighting men who went out to war by companies, according to the number on their roll as prepared by Jael, The scribe and Maaseiah, the officer under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains, the total number of chief officers of the mighty men of valor was 2,600. And under their authority was an army of 307,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. Then Uzziah prepared for them, for their entire army, shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, and slings to cast stones. And he made devices in Jerusalem, invented by skillful men to be on the towers and at the corners to shoot arrows and large stones. So his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped till he became strong. And I guess we might say that he would have received high marks as well for his devotion to God. I say that because we read on further that indicates that he was a righteous man for that time period. In our time, there's a danger of men falling away, that is, becoming disinterested in the things of a spiritual nature, becoming worldly and humanistic in their thinking, sporadic in their attendance, and very shallow in their depth of knowledge concerning the will of God. But if Uzziah was here with us now, he would not fit that mold. He would be interested in spiritual matters. It would be pure in both life and in heart as well toward God. He would no doubt be present at all of the assemblies of God's people, and he would be a deep thinker, one who would meditate and ponder and consider seriously upon the things concerning the will of God for his life. I suggest all of those things because of what is said about him in two or three places in our text in 2 Chronicles 26. There are at least three things I want to mention that are very commendable in regard to Uzziah. First of all, it is said that he followed in the footsteps of his godly father. In 2 Chronicles 26 and in verse 3 and following, Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. So he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He followed in his father's footsteps. I guess you might say he had been brought up in the training and admonition of the Lord, as Paul mentions in Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 4. And having been brought up in the training and admonition of the Lord, thus he followed his father's godly example, and he did what was right in the sight of God. The second thing, after following in his father's godly footsteps, is that he served God from his youth. We just read that he was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 52 years in Jerusalem. 16 years old when he became king. No doubt, he started at an early age to follow in his father's footsteps, according to all that God had directed him, because he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. I suppose that you might say that he did that which the wise man said do in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, when he said, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" Young people need to consider that. They need to begin to serve God from their youth. We might say as early as they possibly can. As soon as they come to recognize and realize right and wrong in their life, and recognize and realize that they've lived or conducted themselves in such a way that is contrary to the will of God, they need to take control of their life and their destiny, because their actions in this life will determine their destiny It will determine their final end. Just as the actions in Uzziah's life, even though he started out young, he ended up in a way which brought ruin and destruction to him. But we need to think about our life. Remember what James said, James 4 and verse 14. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. We have but little time on this earth. Our life is brief. It goes by very quickly. We need to spend our time upon this earth serving our God faithfully, and we need to begin that in our youth. There was a third thing that for which Uzziah could be commended for, and that was that he did what was right in the sight of God. 2 Chronicles 26 and in verse 4 again. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He did what was right. What that means is that he lived uprightly before God. It means that he was a righteous man. He was pleasing to the Lord. He obeyed the Lord's will. Thus he did what was right in the sight of God. We'll also learn that doing what was right in the sight of God, being pleasing to the Lord and living an upright life, would of course cause him to seek out and inquire of the Lord what he must do. And that's what he did from time to time. In 2 Chronicles 26 and in verse 5 we read that he sought God in the days of Zechariah. This is not Zechariah, the Old Testament prophet that we studied not long ago in our studies of the Old Testament prophets. But nonetheless, this individual, Zechariah, evidently was a prophet of God. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. Who had understanding in the visions of God. So he sought God in the days of Zechariah. That is, he inquired of God through this prophet, Zechariah. God's will, evidently, was continually on his mind. And his example is a good example for us. Let us seek God. Let us inquire of God. Let us always be men and women of prayer. As Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and in verse 17, pray without ceasing. Let us inquire God's will in all matters of life. Let us seek out his will not only through prayer, but through a diligent study and understanding of his will. Yes, Uzziah is a good example to follow in regard to these things. He did what was right. He was a righteous man. He practiced righteousness. As John said in 1 John 3 and in verse 7, he who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. God rewarded Uzziah because of his righteousness, because he was always seeking to know the will of God in matters pertaining to his success in life, no doubt, and his success as a king of Judah. Yes, God rewarded him for his righteousness. We learn in 2 Chronicles 26 and in verse 5, he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper, the text says. God made him prosper. That is, God made him a success. As long as he sought the Lord, as long as he inquired of the Lord, as long as he was determined to find out the will of God in matters pertaining to his life and serving as a king, God caused him to prosper. God made him successful. So we see that God rewarded Uzziah for his righteousness. And God also protected him from his foes. 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 7. God helped him against the Philistines, against the Arabs, who lived in Gerbel, and against the Meunites. in 2 Chronicles 26 and in verse 15. And he made devices in Jerusalem, invented by skillful men, to be on the towers and the corners to shoot arrows and large stones. So his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped till he became strong. Yes, God not only protected him from his foes, evidently he gave him great intelligence and wisdom in providing for his army and his skillful men that fought against the enemies of God's people. Evidently, he was indeed given intelligence and wisdom. As the wise man said in Ecclesiastes 2 and in verse 26, "For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. But to the sinner, he gives the work of gathering and collecting, that he may give to him who is good before God." Yes, God must have given him wisdom and knowledge in helping him to rule and reign in Judah during the 52 years of his reign. In all of this, this is a great story up to this point. He seems to be like a man like David, a man after God's own heart. But not so, because there was a flaw in Uzziah. There was a blemish. Look now further at the study of Uzziah, and especially now at his failure in life. Because when he became strong in his own heart, it was to his own ruin, to his own destruction. We might say that apostasy had simply crept up on Uzziah. Usually, apostasy is not something that happens overnight in anyone's life. No one wakes up one day and makes the decision of falling away from God, apostatizing, departing and forsaking and leaving God completely. No, it's something that just kind of happens over a period of time. People of Israel, on many occasions, gradually hardened their hearts and fell away from God on several occasions. And the writer of Hebrews reminds the people of his day of that very thing, when he wrote in Hebrews 3 and in verse 12 and following, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confession steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpse fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." But the children of Israel, my friends, didn't start out that way. They didn't have the intention initially to fall away from God, become unbelievers and disobedient to his will. No, it is something that gradually crept upon them through life. And so it was with Uzziah as well. Uzziah's attitude gradually changed toward God, until he no longer considered it necessary to seek God's guidance. We read in 2 Chronicles 26 and in verse 16 and following, "But when he was strong in his heart, was lifted up." Note that. "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up." That is, he exalted himself when he became strong, when he became successful, when he became prosperous, when he was strong in the face of his enemies and courageous and led the nation of Judah against his enemies. When he was strong, his heart was lifted up. That is, he exalted himself. He became arrogant. He was lifted up and filled with pride and haughtiness and arrogance. It was to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. So Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed, you have sinned. You have no honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and while he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. The truth that Uzziah lost sight of was that genuine worship of God always begins with obedience to his commands. But on this occasion, because his heart was lifted up, because he was filled with arrogant pride and haughtiness, because he had exalted himself above the will of God, he had simply come to God in arrogance, and now he was going to leave God's presence humiliated and stained by the disease that God had sent upon him to punish him. He had taken liberty with God's word by doing something that had not been authorized in the word of God. Again, note in 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 18, as they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense." Uzziah had taken it upon himself to burn incense, though the word of God forbid him from doing that. It was the priests, the sons of Aaron, whom God had consecrated for that work. In Exodus 28, in verse 1, God said to Moses, "Now take Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that they may minister to me as priest, and Aaron and his sons." In Isaiah 66 and in verse 2, "For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord, but on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word." That indeed was not Uzziah on this occasion. He was seeking to do something which had not been authorized by the word of God. Now, he could have done what many people do in our own day and time, and he could have said, "Well, the word of God does not say that I cannot do this." No, it does not say that he could not do it explicitly, but it did say who was to do this work in the temple. It was left to Aaron and his sons, his descendants after him. They were the ones, his sons were the ones who were to burn incense in the temple. That was according to the will of God. So simple silence had condemned the actions of Uzziah. Though the word of God did not explicitly forbid him from doing it, because God's word specified who was to do it, he had violated God's will. He had indeed sinned or transgressed against the word of God. You see, silence condemns action. There are many people who say, "Well, the Bible does not say not to," or "the Bible does not say this or that." I might remind you of what the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 7 and verse 14. He said, "For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning the priesthood." If Jesus was on earth, he could not serve as a priest in the temple because he came from the tribe of Judah. He was not from the family of Aaron. Yes, Uzziah's actions were a transgression against the will of God. His act was described as a trespass or as a sin. "Get out of the sanctuary," 2 Chronicles 26 and in verse 18, "for you have trespassed," that is, you have sinned, "and you have no honor from the Lord God." That should alert all of us to this dangerous attitude of adding to God's word or taking away from God's word. Proverbs 30 and verse 6 states, "Do not add to his word, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar." We're not to add to the word of God. Let those who now have this attitude realize how God views the sin of disrespect for his word, because God has not changed. As Malachi said in Malachi 3 and in verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." We cannot add to nor take from God's word. We have to worship God as his word dictates. Revelation 22 and in verse 18 and following, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." Uzziah was brought to his own ruin. He was brought to his own destruction through his haughtiness, his arrogance and pride, and the thinking that he could determine what would be pleasing and acceptable to God in worship. He simply had added to the will of God, and he sought to worship God by entering the temple and burning incense. Even when he was corrected by the priest on this occasion, he failed to heed their correction. He became furious, infuriated, and angry at them. In verse 18 of 2 Chronicles 26, "And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, 'It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You have no honor from the Lord God.' Then Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar." He should have heeded what the priest had said. He should have heeded their correction. Instead, his arrogance, his pride, his haughtiness got the best of him. He became infuriated. He became incensed with anger against them. And God's vengeance came upon him. It is always sure to come to those who disrespect him. In 2 Chronicles 26 and in verse 19, "Then Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead was leprosy. So they thrust him out of that place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out, because the Lord had struck him. Then King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Then Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land." That's the failure of Uzziah. Even though it seemed as though he was a very righteous man, when he became strong in his heart, his arrogance and pride got the best of him. It brought him to his own ruin. It brought him to his own destruction. We should learn from this, as well as what the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 10 and verse 26 when he writes, "For if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.' And again, the Lord will judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God." From this, we should see our need for continual sanctification in life, a continual and complete devotion to God and his will, a continual and complete devotion to his word and doing what his word says to do in this life. Because as death finds us, so will the judgment. If we begin to live our life right, and we live our life right every day of our life, then we will die right. To start to live our life right, we need to do what the people did on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 and verse 38. When they were told by Peter to repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That is, in order to get their life right on that occasion, they had to repent and be baptized for in order to receive the remission of sins. That is, in order to be forgiven of their sins, they needed to repent and to be baptized. That would get their life right. And then they needed to live right after that. And they did. Acts 2:42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. So let's begin to get our life right now by being obedient to God's will. If we've never been baptized into Christ Jesus, let's do that now. Let's get into Christ, become a child of God, begin to live life right now. And then let us continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine as the early Christians did. And then when comes the end, we will die right. Revelation 14 and verse 13. "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, 'Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them.'" Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. You need to get in the Lord. You need to get into Christ by being baptized into him. And when death comes, you will be blessed by being in a relationship, in union, and in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, having lived your life in faithful obedience to his will all the days of your life. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, the lesson is yours. I hope it will prove to be of great profit to you in the days ahead. If we can assist you in your obedience to the will of God in any way, please do not hesitate to call upon us. For indeed, we stand ready and willing to assist in any way we can. Thank you very much.